Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferentz.
The friendly skies, not so much the case for United Workers. Reopening America, guidance by the CDC, ignored. And today on the broadcast, our segment with Kelly and Ferraro, latest on Zantac and the recall, plus Senator Sherrod Brown. Good afternoon and welcome to the Thursday, May 7th edition of America's Workforce. We call it Labor Radio. It's America's Workforce, recorded in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers across America. We're archived on awfradio.com, and you can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts. iTunes, Google Play, just some of the examples. And once you get hooked, please subscribe to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating. We would certainly appreciate that. All right, we have two featured guests on the show today. Brian Kelly will be joining us on behalf of the law firm Kelly and Ferraro, and he is going to give us the latest on Zantac. You know, probably by now, that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has reported that some acid-reducing and heartburn medications contain a cancer-causing impurity. The medication is known as ranitidine, and it's sold over the counter and by prescription as Zantac and Tritac. Now, according to the FDA, Zantac contains 26,000 times more of the impurity than the FDA allows. Can you believe that? And this is a drug that's been on the market since 1984. The dangerous ingredient is linked to a variety of cancers, including, you ready for this? Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. And there are claims that other types of cancer may also be linked to Zantac. This is a national story. And Kelly and Ferraro, prestigious law firm and a sponsor of America's Workforce, is one of many law firms working on this case. So Brian's going to be our first guest. Senator Sherrod Brown will be joining us later in the show, and he's got a lot to talk about. Number one, he's pushing efforts to put more money into the pockets of working Ohioans in the next coronavirus stimulus package. That's good news. Last week, he sent a letter to Senate leaders calling for a temporary expansion of the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit in the next package. Together, these expansions will put money back in the pockets of working Americans. He's also calling for another round of stimulus checks to be included in any future stimulus package. And he's still continuing his pandemic premium pay plan. It's called the COVID-19 Heroes Fund. We've talked about this on the show. It would help reward, retain, and recruit essential workers who are on the front lines of the pandemic. The plan would provide a pay increase, mind you, of up to $25,000 for essential workers, equivalent to a raise of $13 per hour from the start of the public health emergency until the end of this year. So when did that happen? March, when everything was shut down? This is good stuff. And unfortunately, good legislation usually dies in the Senate because of Mitch McConnell. We'll talk about that. We'll also get into the reopening of meat processing facilities. And we know the workers are not protected. I don't know how many more people have to die before this administration wakes up. They claim that everybody's taken care of, but, you know, when you talk to the local officials, that's not the case. Also, a plan to grant full student loan discharges to defrauded student borrowers. That would be in the next COVID-19 relief package. And a child care. The senator is pressing to include $50 billion in child care bailout in the next package. You got a lot of these businesses that are open, but the child care facilities are not. And the child care facilities are, everybody's hurting in this. If we have time to, it'll be good to get his take on this payroll tax situation, which Trump wants to cut as a form of relief for Americans. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand that the payroll tax funds Social Security. 6.2% from your employer, 6.2% from you. So you add that up, 12.4%, that goes to Social Security, which would be devastated had that happened. I've been doing a lot of reading on this situation, and apparently there's a lot of Republicans that don't like the idea, so that's certainly good news. So we'll all mix it up with Senator Sherrod Brown as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. The CDC, Center for Disease Control, has been obviously monitoring the situation since day one, and a 17-page report by the CDC and their prevention team titled Guidance for Implementing the Opening Up of America was researched and written to help faith leaders, business owners, educators, state and local officials as they begin to reopen, okay? Well, it's a set of documents, and it was meant to give step-by-step advice to local leaders on how to do this carefully. It's not going anywhere. It's been shelved by the Trump administration. It was supposed to be published last Friday, but agency scientists were told the guidance would never see the light of day, according to one official. The official was not authorized to talk to reporters. Well, the Associated Press obtained a copy from a second federal official who was not authorized to release it. The guidance was described in AP stories last week prior to the White House decision to shelve it. Now, the Trump administration has been closely controlling the release of guidance and information during the pandemic, spurred by a new coronavirus that scientists are still trying to understand. With the president himself leading freewheeling daily briefings until last week. That's all stopped. Traditionally, it's been the CDC's role to give the public and local officials guidance and science-based information during public health crisis, or a crisis in this case. During this one, however, the Center for Disease Control has not had a regular pandemic-related news briefing in almost 2 months. The director of the agency, Dr. Robert Redfield, has been a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, but largely absent from the public. The Trump administration has instead sought to put the onus on states to handle COVID-19's response, and that has obviously confused a whole lot of people. However, some of the details in that report have leaked out, and they're popping up in various websites. For example, the report suggested restaurants and bars should install sneeze guards at cash registers and avoid having buffets, salad bars, and drink stations. The report also said that as restaurants start seating diners again, they should space tables at least 6 feet apart and try to use phone app technology to alert a patron when their table is ready to avoid touching and using those little buzzers that you often get when you go into a restaurant. Well, that's not on the CDC site now. But nonetheless, another example here of information that is kind of being suppressed by this administration because all they want to do is open the country. That's role number one right now. We're talking the other day about United Airlines. Well, United Airlines has disclosed now to its workforce of 11,500 employees that it plans to cut at least 30% of its managerial and administrative jobs by October. Now, this comes days after the company told an estimated 15,000 customer service and baggage employees that their hours would be decreasing, and 4,500 of its pilots that they'd be transferred to smaller planes, which means lower hourly wages and could possibly be furloughed if conditions didn't improve before October. Now, the company chose that date because the federal government's billions of dollars in payroll support, which is contingent on the company not making mass layoffs, ends at the end of September. The airline claims that these cutbacks are being made due to travel slumps and economic uncertainty surrounding COVID-19. United, by the way, is the first large aircraft carrier to explicitly state the amount of job cuts they expect to make when the federal aid package's restrictions end. Boy, that's a sad state of affairs. You think about how many employees are in dire straits right now. Okay, we have to take a break. You're listening to America's Workforce. All about Zantac, our segment with Kelly and Ferraro coming up next, right here on America's Workforce. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
This special message goes out to all veterans and dependents of veterans who are living in Cuyahoga County. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission proudly provides a wide variety of services and assistance, including the following: filing VA claims, helping obtain disability or widow pensions, assistance obtaining military records, memorial affairs, social work, rent or mortgage assistance, utility bills, food, clothing and hygiene, and VA medical transportation. For more information about these services or your eligibility, call 1-844-405-VETS. That's 1-844-405-8387, or go online to CuyahogaVets.org. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, veterans helping veterans since 1886.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers across America. We're archived on awfradio.com, and you can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, just some examples. So do check us out. Podcasting America's Workforce. And this segment is also brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. 216-666-2185 or ulagency.org. We're also sponsored by Kelly and Ferraro. And joining us on line number one right now is Brian Kelly. and he's here to give us an update on the Zantac recall. And this is a nationwide case. And Brian's been on the show before. Now, what was it? Back in January, you joined us. We were talking about the Roundup case. Is that right, Brian?
Yeah, that's correct, Flash. It was right at the start of the year, and I was kind of giving you an update about everything that was going on with a similar multi-district litigation involving another product that's probably in everybody's house, just like we'll get to with Zantac, but it was Roundup. And we kind of talked, and it looked promising. There were some cases that were all set, ready to go. You know, the plaintiff had won a few throughout a couple different states early on, and everything got moved over to St. Louis. And, you know, right before it seemed like there was on the cusp of some settlements coming out, Corona hit, and, you know, the world has changed since then. And so, unfortunately, now that's kind of in a stall until about 2021, I think, is when they said the next case is going to be heard. But there's still some settlement talks, and there's still some things going on where I would still recommend that if you used Roundup and you were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, to call Kelly and Ferraro. And if you do have the product, you know, be safe. If you're using an old bottle of it, make sure you're safe and be aware of the risks.
Yeah. Keep your distance. You know, it's funny you brought that up because the other day, you know, it's spring, the weeds are popping up, and I had some of that Roundup left over from last year. Now, I know part of this story is dealing with the landscapers, and they use a more concentrated form of Roundup. So I kept my distance, and I put my N95 mask on. I was out there spraying the weeds. It looked kind of weird, but in today's environment, wearing a mask is nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, a lot of people should be wearing them. I know a lot of people are not wearing them for obvious reasons, but nonetheless, we'll definitely check that at a later date, the Roundup case. Right now, what's the latest on Zantac, Brian? I know your attorneys, you got a bunch of attorneys at Kelly and Ferraro working on this case. Maybe you can fill us in.
Yeah. So I'll give you a little background here, just kind of some facts for some of your listeners who may not know. So essentially, and this is going to date back to October of last year, there were some rumors and some studies that some independent medical reports came out that talked about Zantac and potentially causing a couple different forms of cancer. And that was enough that back in October, CVS and Walgreens decided, hey, these things seem pretty credible. You know, we're going to pull it off our shelves. Flash forward to April of this year, and all of a sudden the FDA said, you know, not only does CVS and Walgreens need to pull it, everybody needs to pull it off. So and since that time happened and started in October, we've been collecting some cases. And, you know, anybody who took Zantac or the generic ranitidine to give us a call and see what we can do. This was all scheduled to start back in March in the Southern District of Florida, where they've set up a multi-district litigation. And if you like, I can kind of explain the difference between that and why that's helpful. Mostly it's because, obviously, Zantac's used throughout the country. So somebody in Ohio and somebody in New York and California, they might all want to file a case. But instead of having it in 20, 30, 50 different courtrooms throughout the country with judges making different decisions, they decided we're going to put this into what we call multi-district litigation. Everybody's case is going to be in front of one judge in one area, so we get similar and fair rulings. So they put that in the Southern District of Florida, and on March the 19th, we were supposed to have a meeting, people flying in throughout all over the country to discuss it, and sure enough, Corona happened, and they kind of shut that down. So now on next week, and I think it's May the 12th, will be that original hearing, and we get to do it now over the phone or through video or however people do things now. So we'll have some more updates then, but that's kind of what's going on.
Yeah. Everything kind of paused here because of COVID-19. Well, why don't you refresh our listeners real quick here on this cancer-causing ingredient in Zantac. And this still baffles me, Brian, because this is a drug that's been on the market, what was it, 1984 or something like that? And we're just,
right.
This is just happening now. Maybe you can refresh us real quick on this.
Right. Yeah. The drug that is in there is known as, or what's the cancer causing agent, I should say, is what's known as NDMA. Now, it's a much longer name, and I'm no scientist, so I won't try and pronounce it for you. But so that's what we need to be concerned about. And it's interesting. It's just like, you know, Kelly and Ferraro, we deal a lot with asbestos litigation. And, you know, a little bit of asbestos that goes around, it's in the air. You can breathe it in. Your body has the defense systems to make sure that you don't get sick by it. That's kind of the same thing with NDMA. It's going to be in certain products. It could be in the water. It could be in some of the meat you eat. But it's very trace amounts. Now, What Zantac did, they found out that, you know, they went way over the legal limits or what the FDA says should be allowed in. And this, you know, now known carcinogen is in your body. It can change up the chemicals and can change up some of the, you know, your blood work or your cells. And that's what's causing the cancer. You're right. It's strange that it's been around for almost 40 years and people are just kind of discussing it and figuring it out now.
And but, this chemical that you're talking about, it's 26,000 times more than the impurity that the FDA allows. That's the part that I don't understand. I mean, why on earth would you put so much of that into this drug? And I guess that's a big part of your case right now, right?
Right. And it's not even so much what it is in the drug. It's how it reacts chemically with different people's bodies once it's inside. I liken this, and I know when we talked about the Roundup case last time, we compared it a lot to the big tobacco cases. And it was just, you know, how could they do this, and how could it just be around for years, and everybody just accepted it? Because, you know, Zantac, everybody knows somebody who takes Zantac, just like everybody knew somebody who used to smoke, or everybody who knows somebody who used Roundup or, you know, worked near asbestos. So you almost kind of belittle it, saying, well, there's no way this could cause cancer because everybody's using it, you know. But that was go to the 40s and say the same thing about smoking in the 50s with asbestos. And, you know, you can pick something that everybody was using that they find out later caused cancer. How it took so long, it does baffle me as well. But that's what the lawsuit's about, is when did they know and when should they have told us?
Let's talk a little bit about the symptoms. And a lot of this information, too, is posted on the Kelly and Ferraro website. Kelly, and that's Kelly with an EY-Ferraro.com, Kelly-Ferraro.com. This chemical NDMA, as Brian indicated, is a chemical found in natural and industrial processes. And the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, classifies it as a possible human carcinogen. Because, and maybe we could talk more about this, Brian, it can alter your DNA. Is that what's at play here? It alters your DNA and then the cancer comes through? What do we know about that?
Right. So unlike the, you know, people who take heartburn will know there's two different things that you can take. You can take your Zantac, or you can take something like Tums. You know, Zantac is what is known as an H2 blocker. So it actually deals with, you know, the antihistamines in your body. And it's not something that the beauty or the reason you take Tums is because it works quickly. It goes straight to your stomach and it works with the antacids. Where this actually goes in your bloodstream and can change up some of your DNA and change up what your body releases to prevent you from getting heartburn or from getting, you know, other side effects or, you know, acid reflux, things like that. So unlike the Tums or the other things where it's after you do it, it immediately goes into your stomach, kind of calms it down. This actually just changes the way your body produces certain cells, and that's why you have the risk of it running cancer. Again, I'll liken it to smoking. Some people, and that's what we can get into this later about the Sloan Kettering report, but, you know, there's people who may have used Zantac for 1, 2, 3 years, and all of a sudden they develop a certain type of cancer, or there's somebody who might have been taking it since 1983, and was still taking it until 2020 when it got pulled from the shelves, and they're completely fine. Each person's body is a little different.
Everybody's different, yeah. And the cancers, there's many here: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. And that's just what we know about. There could be more down the road. Brian, can you stay with us for another segment here? I have to take a quick break. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, it'd be a pleasure.
Okay, good. Brian Kelly, he's one of the fine attorneys at Kelly and Ferraro, kelly-ferraro.com. I'm going to give you a phone number, too. If you have any symptoms here, you definitely want to call them, 216-202-3450, 216-202-3450. And the nationwide number, we're podcast nationally, 800-398-1795. 800-398-1795. Again, this is a nationwide case, and Kelly and Ferraro is just one of several law firms, great law firms, working on this. They're working on this to help the people that have taken Zantac over the years. We'll continue our conversation with Brian. Also, later in the broadcast, Senator Sherrod Brown will be joining us. It's all part of America's Workforce, back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
Part union newsletter, part industry trade magazine. The Labor Citizen provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter to the hard-working members of Ohio's labor trades. Building trades unions that subscribe to the Labor Citizen guarantee their members receive a monthly report crafted by their own union leaders, along with interesting feature stories and news relevant to Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to active and retired members from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the news and issues important to Ohio's labor trades anywhere. And the only way you can have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
The Food and Drug Administration has recently reported that the heartburn medication Zantac is linked to cancer. Zantac has been linked to a variety of cancers, which include bladder, colorectal, kidney, liver, pancreatic, and stomach. So if you or a loved one took Zantac and developed any of these types of cancer, you need to call Kelly and Ferraro. 216-575-0777. Let me repeat that number. 216-575-0777 for a free case review. You may be entitled to compensation from the drug manufacturer.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded in Cleveland, Ohio. For workers across America, we're archived on awfradio.com, and you can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts. Could be iTunes, Google Play, just some examples. And by the way, when you do check us out, give us a 5-star rating. We would appreciate that. All right, let's go back to our live line, rejoin Brian Kelly on behalf of Kelly and Ferraro. And in the first segment, we were talking about Zantac. And Kelly and Ferraro is one of several law firms that's been working on this recall. And because of COVID-19, everything is kind of paused right now. You were mentioning, too, that we have a toll-free number for you, that 1-800 number, 1-800-398-1795. You can represent anybody in the country then, Brian? Maybe you can speak to that part.
Yes. So as we kind of talked about before with the multi-district litigation, it allows our firm and other firms to represent clients from all over. For example, you know, if it was a car accident case and you live in Chicago, you should probably call an attorney from Chicago. But in cases like this, where it is a national company and there's clients all over, you can be represented by anyone throughout the country. And for example, I have a few clients out in California. I have a few in Florida, New York, New Jersey. So, you know, anybody who throughout the country who's listening to your show, which I know is nationwide, I highly recommend you give us a call. And the other thing, too, is because how this is such new information with the drug and causing this type of cancer, even if you had cancer back in, you know, 2005, 2007, and you were taking Zantac, and you're putting it all together now, like, wait a minute, maybe my colon cancer, you know, was caused by this. Give us a call. Mm-hmm. It's not too late. You know, it's all based on when this information came out. So I you know, love to hear from people. You know, it's always nice to get the different accents. I went to school in the South for undergraduate, so it's always fun to hear a y'all when a client calls or something like that. So
we'll you don't have to go to
Pennsylvania. I'll even take Pittsburgh, guys.
Oh, now you're really stretching. Okay.
There you go.
Brian, you don't have to go too far to hear that y'all. I just want to let you know. Now, you mentioned 2000. So when you talk about court cases, you hear a statute of limitations. That doesn't apply to this kind of thing? I mean, if it happened 15, 16 years ago, it doesn't matter?
It will apply in the fact that it's once the knowledge is known. So now the statute of limitations might start of October of last year, of 2019. And depending on what state you're in, you have a year or two from that date. But as far as your injury is concerned, you know, if you weren't aware of what caused your cancer, it's not fair to, you know, the legal system says it's not fair on that person to, you know, be barred. So, but what they do say is, once you have a knowledge, and now that it's out there and you see advertisements by Kelly and Ferraro about Zantac and cancer, that's when the clock starts. So it's not too late for anybody who is you know, maybe hearing this for the first time or hearing this and thinking, you know, it's too old. No, it's not too old. You know, we'll do the work and we'll make sure that you're compensated or that you get a fair try just like everybody else.
All right, let's talk about the cancers. Now, I listed some, and you're telling me that Sloan Kettering, which is doing, it's a research hospital, what is it, in New York, and they may revise that. What's the story there?
Correct. So what happens in cases like this is you try and find a independent hospital or research team to determine exactly what, you know, the drug can cause, what type of cancers, how much you need to take of it. So Sloan Kettering is a hospital in New York City, and they've been doing some research and studying on Zantac. And when they come out with the report, it should have a little more information about exactly what cancers it causes, you know, how much exposure they think you need to the drug. The way I look at it is, it's always important to, you see a study, but it's always important to know who's behind it. The example I give is every morning you wake up and one day they tell you eggs are good for you. And that's from the, and then you realize the people who did that study are the people who are chicken farmers. And then the next day you hear that eggs are bad for you. And you find out the guy who did that study is the guy who, you know, is behind pork and sells sausage and bacon. So what Sloan Kettering's supposed to be doing in cases like that, in this case, and other hospitals will do it for other drugs, is, you know, they're not paid by anybody. They're just doctors out there trying to figure out the cause of the cancer and how much it takes. So once they do it, there'll be some more information about exactly the particular type of cancer, its particular type of usage. And, you know, that we're all waiting to see what that report is.
Yeah, to your point, I recall the tobacco companies doing research, releasing and saying, oh, yeah, cigarettes are fine. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. But wait a minute. This is the tobacco companies. Any idea here, you know, when you go through this, and I guess this, there's a very complicated legal process on all this. And is there any juncture right now in the investigation into Zantac that they were aware of the problems with Zantac and try to cover them up? Is there any indication of that right now, or is it kind of too premature for that kind of thing, Brian?
So that's too premature right now. What will happen is once you go through with the discovery process in which they have to turn over certain documents and tell, you know, get some depositions and we talk to certain people and see things, we'll be able to tell that. You know, I don't want to say that they knew, because I can't say that until I look at the documents, but it seems like it'd be hard not to know of something if all these other independent researchers have done studies. But we'll see. So, at this point, I can't tell you that there's that smoking gun out there of somebody who used to be on the board for, you know, the company that owns Zantac saying, you know, they knew and should have known. That has not come out yet.
Yeah. What do we know about now? There's no Zantac on the market right now. There was a recall on this whole thing. You can't find this, and that process in itself,
isn't there a certain amount of evidence that has to be presented to the Food and Drug Administration in order to prompt a recall? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's correct. So like I said before, Walgreens and CVS back in October of 2019 saw these independent studies, and they thought of it as enough to pull it themselves. And
okay.
Now the FDA has made every store pull it. But the fact that if you're a Walgreens or a CVS, and Zantac is a very popular, you know, product that you sell that is bringing revenue to your store, and all of a sudden you're no longer selling it, to me, that's a big red flag that something is probably wrong with that product. I mean, you don't see profitable companies voluntarily pulling things off the shelf. So,
right.
You know, the fact they did that first, and then the FDA came in, and I'm sure people on the Zantac side will say they're just being cautious, and once all this is blown over, we'll be back on the shelves because it's a safe product. But I don't foresee that happening. The FDA has already kind of said, you know, here's some other products that you should be using in the meantime, you know, while Zantac is no longer being sold.
That's interesting. I got to salute those drug chains for doing that kind of thing. And then the other part of the story, too, I'm sure they've cut back the budget on the FDA. So maybe they may not have the resources as they have done in years past to handle a situation like this. But the good news is it is off the market here. Maybe you can just run down as far as I'm sure your phone is ringing over there at Kelly and Ferraro. We should give the phone number again. It's 216-202-3450. And the nationwide number is 1-800-398-1795. Anybody listening right now, so if they're having some kind of stomach discomfort and they go to the doctor and they find out there's some cancer, they were on the drug, they should contact you. What's the procedure there? Maybe you can walk us through that real quick.
Right, yeah. If there's any, it's a free consultation. Kelly and Ferraro's offices are still open here with everything going on. So, yeah, there'll be somebody there at all times. Give us a call. You know, we'll talk to you. We'll figure out exactly when you started taking it. We'll talk to your doctors. All on us, free of charge. And even if we have the conversation and it turns out, hey, it doesn't work out, then that's okay. It's a 5-10 minute phone call. I hope that you have time to do that. But I highly encourage anybody. You know, it's not a scary process. There's always somebody friendly on the other end. Feel free to ask for me personally. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. And that's all it takes.
Yeah, real simple. How's that going with this COVID-19? Now, you indicated your offices are open. Can people stop by for that, or are you encouraging them just to call right now?
So I would encourage you just to call. We can do everything over the phone. There's also, we've had some programs that allow us to email, so there's no contact, and you can even sign your signature via a web signature. So at no point do I ever have to touch anything that you touch or do anything like that. Or if you like, and you know, computers aren't your thing, we have guys who will come out to your house, put the documents directly in your mailbox. You can read them over, sign it, put it back in your mailbox. Our guys will come back and take it right back. So we, while everything is going a little slower because of Corona, we're still working and we're still signing up new cases. We have close to about 400 different cases, like I said, and I probably through 20, 30 different states being represented. So we're still signing up people every day and, you know, filing cases, and we're doing it in a safe and convenient way.
Yeah, that's service. I'll tell you, great job there. Well, Brian, super job on the show today. Appreciate your commitment to this. Again, the numbers to call, 216 in the Northeast Ohio area, 202-3450. Nationwide, 1-800-398-1795. 1-800-398-1795. You can get a lot of information by going to the website, kelly-ferraro.com. And that's EY and Kelly and two R's in Ferraro, kelly-ferraro.com. Brian, you take care. Be safe. I'm sure we'll be talking to you down the road when we get some more information on this, all right?
We'll do. You as well. Always a pleasure to be on, and thank you for everything that you're doing for the American worker.
Okay, take care, my friend. Brian Kelly from Kelly and Ferraro on our live line. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Senator Sherrod Brown will be joining us.
This is America's Workforce.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for communications and events needs. Because BMA knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to help unions capture market share, conduct marketing campaigns, partake in political education, promote labor management, organize membership development, and support issues such as prevailing wage, project labor agreements, responsible contracting, and workforce training. They also plan and produce special events such as conventions, conferences, and anniversary celebrations. The BMA Media Group, marketing union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit bmamedia.com. That's www.bmamedia.com for all the labor tools you need to move your union into the future.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this next segment brought to you by the North Coast Labor Federation.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers across America. We're archived on awfradio.com, and you can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts. It's iTunes, Google Play, just some examples, so do check us out. Let's go to line number two. Love talking to this guy, Senator Sherrod Brown, always on the right side of the fence, especially when it comes to working class issues. Senator, welcome back to the show. And how are you doing in the midst of this pandemic?
Doing okay. I mean, I'm one of the lucky ones that gets to work from home and get paid to do it and stay safe. And my fight is, as yours is for all those workers. You know, we call them essential now. We don't pay them like they're essential. We don't protect them in the workplace like they're essential. But we've got to do the right things there and bring attention to that. The bus driver, the grocery store worker, the nurse, the custodian, the person that does the laundry at hospitals, all those people.
Let's talk about this Heroes Fund. And we talked about it here on the show, which would help reward, retain, and recruit essential workers, the workers that you're talking about. And it would be the equivalent of a raise of $13 per hour from the start of the health emergency until the end of the year. Any traction on this? What's the status on this?
Well, yeah, we've got almost every Democrat to support it. Maybe every Democrat. There's a few still hang out there, not sure. But we're working to try to get McConnell and Trump. And Trump has shown no interest in this. I mean, you think about, and you've got plenty of people listening to the show during this situation. They go to the grocery. They work at the grocery store. They work as an orderly at a hospital. They're delivering packages. They're driving buses. They're a firefighter or police officer. They know when they go to work that they get potentially exposed to this virus. Their employer getting better, but their employers have not looked out for them with masks and gloves when they need them and other kinds of protections. They've in meatpacking plants, as we know, they've spaced people too quickly together and sped up the lines. And we know how corporations do that to workers. Then these same workers go home, always anxious that they may have picked up the virus been asymptomatic and given it to their family. And for that, we don't protect them well enough, and we don't pay them well enough. And these are mostly, most of these jobs, most people in the workplace now are hourly wage earners, not making a whole lot of money. Some do better. Police officers obviously make more than the person that does the laundry in the hospital. But nobody's paid all that well in this group of people that are essential workers. And that's my bill to make sure that we get up to $25,000 out to these workers, these pandemic, called pandemic pay, heroes bonus. We're pushing Republicans to go along with it. It's not something they usually do, but they, you know, we took care of the airlines and Wall Street always does all right. Maybe we ought to think about workers once in a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's almost like they're treated as expendable, which is just so wrong. So wrong. You mentioned the meatpacking workers.
Can you say that? Because I was talking to a group of essential workers, always by phone. It was a conference call I did. There were city workers. There were sanitation workers. There were what is called. There were grocery store workers. There was a couple bus drivers. There were some other delivery people like this. And one of the guys on the phone said, it was about half men, half women. One of the guys said, you know, they call us essential and then they don't protect us. So really what they mean is expendable. And that's fundamentally what they mean. And if we're serious about these workers are essential, let's treat them that way. And not just during this period, but let's start treating them that way when the pandemic is in the rearview mirror.
That's right. Every day of the year, 24/7. You mentioned the meatpacking workers, and here's a good example. It seems like they're expendable. I mean, Trump has pretty much ordered them back to work. The conditions in those facilities, still not good. It doesn't seem like they're getting the personal protective equipment. How do you see this? Is this something that can be stopped? I know they're trying to balance this because there's a meat shortage showing up in various parts, but what's your answer to this, Senator?
Well, the answer is that they rush safety supplies and equipment to these workers. They slow down the lines. I mean, I've read a lot about this industry over the years and seen a couple places in action. And they have sped up the lines so they can process more carcasses or more chickens. And when they do that, they compromise the worker's safety. The workers stand there with a butcher knife, and the faster they have to work, the more likely they are to get hurt. The more likely there are that there are food safety issues. In fact, in one of these plants some years ago, I remember seeing that one day a week their plant slowed the line down to like 40% slower than it normally was. And that was the day they were sending their beef to the European Union because the European Union had higher safety standards than the Americans. Think about that. So when Trump orders them back to work, I'm not sure he can do that, but he's trying. Orders them back to work if he's done nothing to enhance food safety. So this is a worker safety and a consumer safety issue. And you don't do that when the public health is at risk. And I think the union's fighting it. These workers should be paid without they should have days off, paid without going to work. They should be then later when they do return to work after they've slowed the line down and made it safer, got them the equipment and sanitize the plants and all, then they ought to get pandemic pay because they're still taking risks because you can't work in a place that big with that many people without some risks. And the companies, they're going to produce enough food. There's no more people eating today than there were before. It's just that the supplies go to a different place. I mean, I work with some farm groups where there's a lot of milk processing in this company, in this country. They bottle milk and send it in cartons to Dave's and to Heinen's, but also in little cartons, millions of them to schools. Well, they've got to retool because they're not putting stuff in little cartons like that. So there's all those things we have to work out. The Department of Agriculture has been asleep at the switch, just like the Department of Labor has been asleep at the switch with Trump trying to get these unemployment checks out.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's OSHA. I'm hearing all kind of horror stories. Like, for instance, the meatpacking plants. How often are they inspected? And aren't there a lot of cutbacks going on? I mean, it's across the board. You know how everything has been deregulated. And it's not just Trump. This has been going on for years.
Yeah. Well, Trump accelerated it. We got the deregulation pause. We have put together, I've got an OSHA a temporary OSHA order that we're going to try to get in the next package. So OSHA's got to do this. But OSHA's underfunded. When Trump did the tax cuts back for the rich 3 years ago, he cut money to OSHA, cut money to enforce worker safety and health standards as they always do. Absolutely, OSHA's got to be more engaged. These companies know that they can get away with stuff because even if they're found in violation, this administration doesn't punish them because this administration's friends are all corporate leaders. So corporate mm-hmm. leaders and developers and that whole crowd. Let me talk about one thing I wanted to kind of do a little commercial on unemployment benefits. We passed in the coronavirus package number 3, the big one, the $2 trillion was a month ago. It's been 5 weeks now since the president signed it. We passed an expansion of unemployment benefits. Now, in Ohio, a lot of people are not – Ohio's unemployment system, because of conservative legislators, has reduced the length of payments, has reduced the amount of payment, the weekly payment, that's also reduced the eligibility. So if you're a part-time worker or you're a gig worker or you're a sole proprietor, you can't get state employment. But we wrote the federal law so all those groups get $600 a week also. So you still have to apply. So even if you don't think you're eligible for the state, you still apply with the state and you should get the $600 a week until the end of July in federal unemployment. The money will start from the day you were laid off as long as you can show the unemployment bureau, here's when I was laid off and I'm entitled to $600 a week up through July 31st. If I'm eligible for the state, I'll get $600 plus the state. I'm not eligible for the state, I'll just get the $600. But I just urge your listeners, and if you'd say this every few days on the show, when I'm not on, if you'd just make sure people know they need to file unemployment. Unfortunately, it's been slow. It's been slow because the Trump Secretary of Labor was slow because he really didn't care. He's a corporate lawyer. It's been slow in Ohio because they simply are under-equipped to handle this many claims. I spoke to the governor yesterday personally about it. I think DeWine's doing his best to get these out. We just don't, you know, they cut back all these offices. Again, state and federal government are the same. They give tax cuts to rich people and then they don't serve the public. And it's happened with the Republican legislature here for years, and it's happened in Washington.
Well, Senator, you know, they're even beating up on DeWine. They want to take away some of his powers. They think he went too far. So he's got his hands full.
I guess he's going to veto this bill that they don't. I mean, the thing DeWine's done is he's listened. I mean, I will say this publicly and with certainty that because of Mike DeWine, this is not a partisan thing, because of Mike DeWine's early actions, aggressive actions, fewer Ohioans will get sick and die. And because of President Trump's inaction for 8 weeks and then all the mistakes he's made and the divisiveness he's called, more Americans will die as a result of his lack of leadership. I'm as certain of that. And Mike DeWine will save lives, as I am that Donald Trump will cost lives.
Senator, one more question. I know you got to go. Stimulus. Are we going to see another stimulus package? Is there enough support in the House and the Senate right now?
There is enough support if McConnell will let us do it. I think the pressure on McConnell will be such that there will be another one. And we need especially help to local and state local governments. We need help to public education. And we need to make sure we need help for renters and for people that are about to be foreclosed on. People shouldn't lose their apartments and their houses during this pandemic period.
All right. We'll leave it on that note. Senator, always a pleasure having you on the broadcast, and we will take your advice. We will promote the that unemployment insurance situation here in the state of Ohio. So those of you listening right now, if you did not get through, keep at it. Okay, Senator, thank you. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks, buddy. See you.
Always love talking to that guy, Senator Sherrod Brown. So lucky to have him here as senator in the state of Ohio. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the latest from the progressive populist and Cleveland labor attorney, Joyce Goldstein. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.